Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It is September 29th, 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Other shows, Mondays, the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al. Tuesdays, The Cross and the Crescent, otherwise known as Radio Free Kafiristan with Eric. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus with Andrew Herod. Saturday nights, those are for Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie with Revealing the Truth About Islam. And then Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue as part of his Cross and Crescent series. And of course, every Wednesday here at 5:30, me, Hank Jones, with Hank Jones Poly Sports. Get in contact with the show off air. Try hjpsports1980@gmail.com or go to Twitter and just look at hpolysports, at hpolysports. Or go to Facebook, Hank Jones Polysports. And of course, during the show, come in through blogtalkradio.com, find Patriot Radio under the live button. And, of course, you can always call in, 319-527-6706. The plus there, the bonus, of course, is if you hit the 1 on your phone, you can listen and then talk to us, or to me, just depending. My wife is in the house, my beautiful wife, and our little Aussie also here. Aussie's in and out of the house, eating. The wife is in and out of the house, camp, getting ready for a trip we're taking for our 25th anniversary next week. And next week, Vito is going to be hosting the show again. I know I'm depending on him a lot, but Vito is going to host the show next week while my wife and I are on our 25th anniversary trip. Welcome Bigfoot to the chat room. Welcome Brother Tommy on the phones. And of course, prayers for those, for Sue from New Mexico, for Annie, for G-Ski Rocks, any others that you know of in need of prayer, please pray for them as well. Power of prayer is very important, and it's a part of the community of God as well. Hey, Bigfoot, how you doing, man? Some recent deaths. Yesterday, we lost Lonnie Smith, a.k.a. Dr. Lonnie Smith. He's a jazz keyboarder, most noted for his Hammond B3 wizardry. He died of pulmonary fibrosis at 79. He played with George Benson as part of Benson's original quartet back in the 1960s. And he went solo in the late 60s. In addition to George Benson, he also recorded with Lee Morgan, David Fathead Newman. Yeah, only a jazz guy would be named that. Blue Mitchell, Joey DeFrancisco, and King Curtis. Later in his career, he appeared on various tour stops with the likes of Grover Washington Jr. and Ron Carter and Dizzy Gillespie. Also did some stops with Dionne Warwick and Gladys Knight and Etta James. On Monday, Andrea Martin, no, not that Andrea Martin from SCTV. Andrea Martin, who sang and wrote songs for numerous R&B acts, as well as performing and producing for some of them. She was 49 and no cause has been given yet, but 49 is way too young. Finally, late last Wednesday, saw the passing of former boxer Orlando Martinez at age 77. No cause was listed. That's probably because he was from Cuba, where they don't tell you much. Fought as a bantamweight. He was part of that Cuban contingent. It had great success in the Olympic boxing tournaments throughout the 1960s and into the 1980s. He lost in the first round in the 1968 games in Mexico City, but in Munich, he won gold. Three dominating fights, two kind of close fights. One was kind of controversial against the boxer from the UK. Many thought it should have been the British fighter that won, but like most of the Cuban fighters of that generation, like Teofilo Stevenson, he never went on to a pro career. Actually, one more death was announced yesterday. It took place evidently last January or February, but that was the death of the Dignity and Honor at the University of Tennessee football program, which canceled their 2022 game against Army. Problem here is the game was taking place the same weekend as the 2022 Medal of Honor Society convention, which is also taking place in Knoxville. And the game would have been attended by the Medal of Honor recipients in attendance. There went the death of honor. The death of dignity, occurred when it was revealed that Medal of Honor recipients would still be invited to attend the UT Akron game. Yeah. Some politics and sports news. Last week, a shooting at an off-campus party near Washington State University in Pullman resulted in the death of a non-student and serious injury to Washington State Cougar wide receiver Brandon Gray. While that's bad enough, over the weekend, Utah defensive back Aaron Lowe was killed in a shooting at a house party in Salt Lake City. And that comes less than a year after his teammate, Ty Jordan, was killed in an accidental shooting in Texas, his Texas hometown. In the Salt Lake City incident, in addition to Lowe's tragic death, a young woman was also shot. She's still in critical condition at the area hospital. Arrest has been made in the Pullman, Washington shooting, not in the Salt Lake City shooting. Now for the irony, the two teams, Washington State and Utah, played last weekend. Gray did not make the trip. Aaron Lowe played in the game. The cruel irony, last month, Aaron Lowe was named the first recipient of the Ty Jordan Memorial Scholarship, named in honor of Ty Jordan. Jordan and Lowe were former Utah teammates, but also former high school teammates. The worst irony, Aaron Lowe had actually convinced Ty Jordan to stick with Utah. Jordan had decommitted and was reopening his recruitment, and Aaron Lowe convinced him that Utah was the place. Now, look, I'm sure the gun-grabbing crowd is going to come in with their usual anti-gun rhetoric. The bigger issue here to me is, what the hell's happening on our campuses? Look, in both instances, police were responding to large parties, disturbances, or noise. Considering colleges are still in COVID protocols with mandatory vaccine or testing, parties with 200-plus people would seem to kind of be a no-no. But more than that, why are college players hanging out at these parties? Why? I got to believe they know there are bad elements at these parties. I got to believe they know there are rules. And if you're a college student and a college football player, this could result in several unfortunate endings. Two of those off the top of my head would be getting into trouble, which might result in a loss of scholarship and dismissal from the team, or even loss of NIL monies. Yeah, Dave's Car Lot in Localville, USA, they're not going to fork over name, image, likeness money for guys who are getting into this kind of trouble at off-hours, off-campus parties. And, of course, it can also end in worse things like getting shot or ultimately dying. Look, this is very sad. And while I get the usual calls of thug life and, well, it's this conference or that school, it's terrible to see guys losing their lives when they're, you know, really on the cusp of possibly living their dreams. Meanwhile, a police-involved shooting in Southern California after the U.S. Open of surfing. I know, that's kind of weird. Anyway, I heard something you usually don't hear from one of those, from a witness to that. I heard the word surreal. You don't usually hear that at a surfing competition, much less when describing a shooting. Yeah, man, it was surreal. Very bizarre. You can go online and find it. Just look for U.S. Open surfing shooting. Really kind of bizarre, kind of stupid. I mean, you know, I just don't get it. I really don't. Who can explain that stuff? Here's the thing. One witness, as I said it was surreal. Apparently a guy on the beach was brandishing a weapon, and after numerous orders from officers, he still refused to comply. Officers eventually shot and then shot again you can see this on video, when he went down from his initial shots, he actually continued to reach across the sand for the apparent weapon. Officer cams, et cetera, usual bystander cell phone videos are all being reviewed. But I'd say this one's a no-brainer. You simply don't bring out your 9 while you're out on the beach, and you sure as hell don't continue waving your 9 around when law enforcement officers tell you to drop it. Yeah, believe it or not, there are limits to the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms does not include threatening innocent people or waving them around on a beach or not complying with requests from law enforcement officers. Yeah, believe it or not. So on that note, a new law has gone into effect in Oregon. It requires guns, even when at your home, to be in a gun room a gun safe, or under trigger lock when not under your control. Gets better. Really does. Okay, not really. The law, quote, authorizes city, county, metropolitan service district, port operating commercial airport, school district, college, or university to adopt ordinance or policy limiting or precluding affirmative defense for possession of firearms in public buildings by concealed handgun licensees. Stipulates that a firearm isn't secure if a key or combination code to a trigger lock, cable lock, or storage container is easily accessible or available to a person that the gun's owner hasn't authorized to control the firearm. Yeah, it also criminalizes leaving a firearm unattended in a vehicle within view of people outside the vehicle. Here's some consolation, though. The safe storage mandate doesn't apply if the owner of the gun is alone in their home or with other individuals authorized to use the firearm. Gets better. It does. It does. Firearms dealers must post a notice that details the responsibility of the owner and that failing to abide will result in the owner being in violation of the law. And if the gun owner violates the new law, and if the gun is used to injure a person or property within 2 years, the injured party can file a civil lawsuit against the gun owner. Okay, couple thoughts here. If you want people to stay out of your bedroom, you know, that saying, you know, stay out of my bedroom. If you want people to stay out of your bedroom, that better include every other damn room in the house as well. If you're going to say stay out of our bedrooms, which I agree, well, then say other rooms deemed necessary are okay. Well, in short, it's not okay. All rooms or no rooms. Guess what our founding fathers intended? No rooms. Next up, to mandate how and when we and where we store firearms or any other personal possession is ludicrous at a minimum. But going to the limit, it's as intrusive as a vax mandate. It's as bad as violating HIPAA or any other privacy statute. Man, how I store a firearm, chainsaw, a belt sander, or personal vehicle is my damn business. It's my damn preference, and it's my damn right and privilege. Oh, by the way, which leads me to the next issue, that being home, property, and vehicle. Look, with this law, not only does the state of Oregon invade your home and your property, they invade your privacy off your property. Never mind that this will be subject to interpretation, i.e. what I deem safe should be enough. When I leave a gun in a vehicle, abuses by law enforcement are now excused with the usual, quote, we saw something. It was imminent threat. People were in danger. We've heard that from various agencies and various levels of government over the last 50-plus years. Look, it's bad enough that our homes are now under approved invasion. Vehicles are now included. And you can bet this is going to include private storage lockers and other private property locations. That hunting cabin you have up in the mountains or out in the country, guess what? You're not there every week or every weekend. But now, people will be in Oregon. Why? Because all it takes is one person to say, oh, I think there's unlicensed firearms. I think there's unsafe firearms in there. Yeah, we know the people of Oregon aren't exactly stand-up folks. And here's another one. The Oregon legislature has literally given courts the ability to interpret and hear frivolous lawsuits based on the idea that a stolen firearm used in a crime is the responsibility of the firearm owner. Now, yeah, they use terms like lock and authorized. But we've already seen what Oregon considers authorized over the last several years. I mean, like, I'm not authorized to have a gun or to vote a certain way. But if an Antifa or a BLM or a Proud Boys even or some other hate group or a quote-unquote approved criminal breaks into your home and steals your gun, that's bad enough. But if they use it or sell it and it gets used, who exactly is really responsible? How do you think courts will rule? Well, previously, these kinds of lawsuits were usually almost categorically dismissed. There's a couple places you can go to look at that. Gun Owners of America sort of has a history of civil suits. I believe Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership also has a link. It might be to the same site, but they basically, it gives you a rundown of the types of lawsuits that have been brought against lawful gun owners and the history in civil cases, how well they don't actually do. You know, the media makes it sound like, oh yeah, guns are a terrible thing and the courts are really going to slam that. No, actually they're not. Yeah, there have been laws passed, but there have been far more laws overturned by courts than have been allowed to stand. Now, though, any frigging ambulance chaser is going to take on cases just to do the old churn and burn, you know, play numbers game, knowing that cases will be heard, settlements will be reached, because, of course, insurance companies will settle. I wish I'd had time to talk with Vito about this, because Vito kind of understands the insurance angle of it, I think. And it brings us to that, insurance companies. Look, I'm no expert on insurance, but I do know that this will raise insurance rates. And you can bet this will change the way insurance companies view home insurance. I mean, simple thefts may no longer be insurable, especially if insurance companies become part of the chain of liability. Unless you believe that insurance companies will be exempted by the Oregon statute, yeah, only government thugs get that luxury, folks. But there's always this, yes, Your Honor, proud BLM thugs had my permission to take my gun. Now, look, finally, like I said, the slippery slope here. Right now, it's safes, it's rooms, it's locks. How long before they determine they can come into your home to check and inspect? How long before the next fake mass shooting? And you say, oh, there's a – I'll pinpoint it for you. The very next Oregon mass shooting will happen with a stolen gun roughly 2 weeks before they want to introduce legislation that, quote-unquote, strengthens the statute to include unscheduled inspections, on-the-spot firearm seizures, and fines that are determined by the inspectors. Why? Look at your history, people. Look at mass shootings in this country. I'm not saying every one of them, but a good, appreciable number, most likely a majority, occur right around the same time there is pending firearms legislation. I'm not sure why I have to even point that out, because, I mean, anybody who, if you read news, you turn from page one to page two, you know that. And frankly, when it comes to privacy, insurance companies are going to be begin to make it a standard practice to inquire if you have firearms when they insure your home. I can categorically say this. Up till now, I have never been asked that. I've also never had a doctor ask me. But in Oregon, I guarantee it's going to become standard. State Farm of Oregon, you want them to insure your house, they're probably going to ask you if you have firearms and how you secure them. I mean, if I was an insurance company, I'd sure as hell do the same thing in Oregon, knowing what the law. It's another shameless assault on our constitutional rights. It seems that smaller and or rural hospitals are going to be closing or curtailing their services in the wake of the La Dopi Nostra vax mandates for healthcare workers at hospitals. Yeah, the ones that receive Medicare and Medicaid funding. By the way, name a hospital that doesn't. A hospital in rural Texas, it's called Goodall Witcher Hospital. They may have to stop maternity deliveries due to nurses that refuse to vaccinate. Yeah, the CEO, a guy named Adam Willman, wrote that at 70% vaccination, those that are going to get it have pretty much already gotten it. He also pointed out several experienced nurses have refused the vaccine, and as several are close to retirement age, have decided they'll just either retire or go work elsewhere. A guy named Tom Mee, who is the CEO of North Country Healthcare System in New Hampshire, said rural and smaller hospitals will likely have trouble maintaining adequate staff due to the mandate. Mee says he has never seen anything like this in his 34 years in healthcare. Who the hell did not see this coming? Look, despite all the memes claiming that all the government types and all the doctors and all the nurses are vaccinated, we pretty much knew that wasn't true. And now we know it. Another system, it's only 70%. That's still a lot, but it's a far cry from the 96% I've seen quoted across various social media sites. Definitely. Or should I say several well-coordinated social media sites, because the memes all appear as if on frigging cue. The newly minted meme trope, remember the one, don't buy the new iPhone, it's only 2 months old, comparing it to claims of the vax being too new. Remember that? That was a non-starter. First of all, you can damn well bet that the new iPhone, from ideation to finished product, took a hell of a lot longer, considering the time spent in product development, research, et cetera, hell of a lot longer to develop than it did this vaccine. The other newly minted but already tired phrase, they've been working on this vaccine for a year. I already talked about this. It was obviously the typical big left misdirection. Yes, they have been working on messenger RNA-type vaccines for years. The specific COVID-19 vax can't possibly have been in the research phrase that long, not before the onset of the virus. Unless, of course, now we won't go there today, other than to conclude with the fact that several healthcare systems or hospitals or wherever around the country have placed nurses and other employees on unpaid leave, pretty much with termination imminent, for refusing the vaccine. But, of course, New York is paying temporary nurses right now $7,000 a week for, quote, emergency work. Good God. Only in progressive liberal America, I swear to God. Ohio State had another player attrition issue over the weekend. Actually, it occurred during their game Saturday against Akron. Okay, it's kind of weird, but here goes. Okay, backup senior linebacker Kevon Pope went out on the field to enter the game in the second quarter. At that point, linebacker Taraje Mitchell waved him off. So Pope returned to the sideline, then he walked toward the locker room. An Ohio State staffer brought him back to the sideline, and then several other Ohio State staffers spoke with him. It ended up with Pope throwing his gloves into the stands and trying to take off his jersey. Correction, that was just the next part. Pope was then escorted to the locker room, where he tweeted, by the way, what the hell is it with these guys having their phones around during games? But anyway, he tweeted, F Ohio State. He spelled it F-U-C-C. Ohio State. Then he later tweeted, good luck, which he also spelled L-U-C-C. He said, good luck to my teammates. Apparently, he should have tweeted, good luck to my former teammates. After the game, Ohio State coach Ryan Day wouldn't comment on the matter, saying he didn't know the whole story or sequence of events. As of Sunday, however, Ohio State announced that Pope had been dismissed from the team. Coach Day said Pope will stay on scholarship through the semester and will have all available assistance, such as the student-athlete support services office and other assistance toward graduation. I'm hoping spelling tutoring is part of that, by the way. You'd understand that if I could show you a visual of the actual tweets. He spelled F, word, and luck, both U-C-C. Pope later issued an apology and said this, last night I let my emotions get the best of me. For that, I want to apologize to my teammates, coaches, and Buckeye Nation. I made a mistake and know that I need to do better and be better. I'm going to take this time to reflect and work on my mental well-being. Okay, look, on the surface, it looks like a situation just built up and then blew up. But consider these, and then tell me who's right or wrong. I know a lot of people are saying, you spoiled brats. But okay, well, by the way, Kevon Pope has subsequently entered the transfer portal on Monday as an undergraduate transfer. He leaves Ohio State. 33 games appeared in, 11 tackles, 5 passes defended, and 2 interceptions. But so listen to this. Okay, first, he's listed as a fourth-year senior. He's appeared in 33 games. He would presumably have a redshirt year and not sure if he would get actually 2 years with COVID, with that whole COVID thing. So while he hasn't technically declared a redshirt year, he had, coming into the season, 1 or 2 years of eligibility left, if not 3. Again, the COVID stuff messes with that to a degree, but he either had 2 or 3 years coming into the season. While it's been said in various stories that he was competing for playing time and possibly a starting spot, well, you know, he had appeared in all 3 of their games. The game against Akron would have been their 4th. And therein, folks, lies another issue. Yeah, Bigfoot asked, did he spell it Buckeye, B-U-C-C-E-Y? You know, he did not. He spelled Buckeye correctly. Good question, though. So basically, okay, by appearing in his 4th game, he basically uses up this year. Whether he, you know, from this point on out, injury, booted from the team, entering the transfer portal, whatever, this season would be a waste. It would be used. If he transfers after that point, it's a year of eligibility he cannot recover. Unlike previous transfer portal declaration by his former teammate, Dallas Gant, or Utah quarterback Charlie Brewer, which I talked about last week, both of them entered the transfer portal after their respective team's third games. If he thought he was supposed to go on the field and a player waves him off, the reaction's kind of odd. But if he was then told he's not going to play at all or any play anymore at all, he's got a right to be pissed off. Look, if he'd already had a play from scrimmage or on special teams, he just hit his fourth game. He just clocked this year. If he did that and then they pulled him and said, you're done for the day or for the season, you're not going to see any more playing time, yeah, he should be pissed. So his reaction could have been to wasting eligibility or simply being demoted down the roster, or he felt he was misled and was not told he shouldn't go onto the field. In any case, I would say this. Sorry, Ryan Day. He's got a right to be upset. And I say it this way. It's just simple. A player has a right to know where he stands. Now, look, the apparent knuckling under with Pope apologizing and staying at State through the semester is kind of odd, but that could just be the typical announcement. He may not have any intention of staying at OSU. If he does, as I said, he ought to take spelling, remedial spelling. But look, by making their announcement, I think OSU is simply trying to stave off more negative publicity. Frankly, Kevon Pope may have more incidents of disciplinary issues. So, you know, entering the transfer portal, you know, they can make it so he's not that attractive to other schools or other coaches. In any event, really, this is the second linebacker within a week to leave that team. It's one more of several incidents of players transferring. And look, while this hardly means that Ohio State's dominance in the Big Ten is coming to a halt, it does mean that even at the Blue Bloods, there are player and personnel issues. And frankly, I hope things work out for Kevon Pope. Enough said. Former Hawaii Democrat U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard went after Dopey Joe last weekend. An interview on Fox News' Waters World with Jesse Waters. She said Dopey Joe went after Border Patrol agents without full facts and acted as judge, jury, and executioner. I remember during a White House news conference, Dopey Joe said it was wrong of agents to go after Haitian immigrants on horseback and wrong for them to whip the Haitians. The problem, of course, the photographer, one Paul Rache, said he's never seen the agents whip anyone and that the photo showed not an agent wielding a whip, but merely an agent handling the reins of his horse. So anyway, Tulsi Gabbard said as part of this interview that she said that Dopey Joe needs to apologize to the American people because his statement all but told the American people that the agents can't affect a fair outcome to an investigation where the president has declared their guilt and announced that they would be punished. She added that, quote, as a nation of laws, we are seeing increased autocracy and losing democracy. And here's a tweet from her as well. She says, I was hoping that Biden would keep his promise to try to unite our country. But instead, this administration has used race and identity politics to divide us. Our freedom of speech and civil liberties are under assault. Inflation is going through the roof, and we've got open borders. Yeah, here's the thing. In spite of being called a Russian asset by Killery, despite the crap we have seen from La Dopey Nostra, Tulsi Gabbard says she's still a Democrat. She laughingly compared herself, by the way, to quote-unquote as an outsider. And then later said that Joe Biden is still her friend. Look, that last part, Joe Biden, that's not exactly outsider credentials. Just saying, Tulsi. On to some golf. So this past week and weekend, the U.S. took back the Ryder Cup. Yep. And to quasi-quote Trev Alberts from years ago, it wasn't even close. The U.S. Won 19-9. Which is a record for the Ryder Cup, which broke Europe's record by a half point back in 1979. Six Ryder Cup rookies scored more points than the whole European team. They went 14-4-3 in those matches. For the first time since 1967, the U.S. didn't lose a single session. Pretty much unheard of in my lifetime. Now, even when the U.S. has won, it's always been kind of close. I don't ever remember the U.S. winning all sessions. Some of the highlights, Scotty Scheffler beat world number one John Rahm 4-3. In a match against Sergio Garcia, Bryson DeChambeau hit his tee shot onto the green on the 373-yard opening hole, then sank the 40-foot eagle putt. Patrick Cantlay completed the week without a loss in any of his matches. The event was held in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, at the Whistling Straits Golf Course, which appropriately the team was captained by Steve Stricker, who's a Wisconsin native. He actually is the one who received the loudest applause from the fans and attendance at the trophy ceremony. Good for him. To give you an idea how different this event was, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau hugged and actually asked to play together. Yeah. The 2023 Cup is going to take place at Marco Simone Golf and Training outside Rome. If this same U.S. team, or at least this nucleus, shows up, it could be another U.S. blowout. So congrats to the U.S. golfers. Dominant. Dominant. Way to go. Up next, let's see. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was on Fox News Sunday last weekend. He reported that, quote, as many as 12,000 illegal Haitian immigrants, unquote, have been released into the U.S. Well, sort of. He said, approximately, I think it's about 10,000 or so, 12,000. By the way, it was estimated that about 17,000 illegal Haitian immigrants had gathered at the Del Rio, Texas border crossing last week, and that 12,400 are having their cases heard by immigration courts. And Mayorkas added that it could be 5,000 more as cases are processed. He said the number released could rise, and maybe even the number returned could rise. Don't bet on that last one. Here's what else this guy had the balls to say on national television. What we do is follow the law as Congress has passed it. And he also said, yeah, the immigration system is broken. And then he had the absolute cojones to say legislative reform is needed. Look, this guy, who multiple times has said there is no issue at the border, is now claiming that, quote, what we do is follow the law as Congress has passed it. Now, look, I know I told you not to bet on the number of returned illegals rising, but I am saying this. These bastards in the La Dopey Nostra, they don't follow the law, period. They have no regard for Congress unless it suits them, period. And I am saying, period, bet on this guy to pass. Hell, bet on him to lap Dr. Fauci in the race to spew the most inconsistencies in or on a public medium, forum, or hearing. Look, no matter who's conducting the hearing or the forum or the media circus. And parlay that bet with this. This guy and everyone else in La Dopey Nostra doesn't care about legislative reform. They'll abuse whatever laws are already on the books, and they will abuse or ignore any subsequent laws. Bet on it. That, folks, was the Hank Jones Poly Sports Stone Cold Lead Pipe Global Patriot Radio Sports Desk Lock of the Week. Sorry, let me say that again. That was the Hank Jones Poly Sports Stone Cold Lead Pipe Global Patriot Radio Poly Sports Desk Lock of the Week. You are welcome. So preliminary results and reports are coming in from the Arizona election audit. Last Friday, of course, mainstream media was reporting that it confirmed Biden's victory and actually increased it. Guess what? If I didn't believe that, then I'm pretty sure none of you believed it either. Here are some of the numbers that we're seeing. 23,344 ballots returned from prior addresses of voters who probably didn't receive them at that prior address. Yeah, that's red flag number one. Maricopa County then claimed to have received 20,933 quote, one-time temporary address requests for the 2020 election. Yeah, that's red flag number two. Another part of the report says 9,041 more ballots returned than sent. Red flag number three. And 5,200 may have been received from voters who voted in two or more counties. Yeah, that's red flag number four. And finally, the number of ballots counted in Maricopa County was 3,432 more than the total number of people who voted. Yeah, red flag number five there. And in another disturbing finding, there were 2,592 more duplicate ballots than there were originals sent for duplication. Now, what that means is this. Ballots are typically sent to duplication when they are damaged or improperly marked, so it's meant to preserve voter intent. This, folks, isn't just a red flag. This is, quote, cheating methodology in a nutshell, literally. Look, in the old days, back in Illinois when I was a kid, so 40 or 50 years ago, the Democrat trick back then, they would hold a broken-off pencil lid under their thumb, and then they would mark or mismark ballots in order to either disqualify them or change them. Florida. That's what they did. It was documented in several Illinois counties and was actually noted by the Nixon campaign in both 1968 and 1972. So, yeah, this is just cheating methodology in a nutshell. It's all it is. Oh, here's a thought to cheer us all up. Certain lawmakers are demanding that the Department of Justice, otherwise known as the Uptown Social Club hangout of the La Dopi Nostra. Okay, look, it's not the Ravenite or the Bergen Hunt and Fish Club where John Gotti hung out, but it's still probably got a pretty good red clam sauce. Anyway, the lawmakers are demanding that the Department of Justice explain the dropping of cases against Chinese researchers who are accused of hiding ties to Chinese institutions or the Chinese military. Remember, over a year ago, before the COVID stuff started, remember when I didn't break the story, but I reported the story of Dr. Charles Lieber at Harvard, and he wasn't the only one arrested at that time. But, you know, anyway, they've made a request of Attorney General Merrick Garland. Now, in La Dopi Nostra parlance, Attorney General is code for consigliere. Remember that Michael Corleone's line to Kay Adams in The First Godfather? He said of his adopted brother, Tom Hagen, not a Sicilian, but a good lawyer. I think he's going to be consigliere. Yeah, then he goes on to explain what the consigliere is and does. That's Merrick Garland, or that's what Attorney General means. Can you believe Obama wanted that scumbag Merrick Garland to be a Supreme Court justice? Yeah, me neither. Actually, I can. Anyway, at the time, the DOJ said the cases were dropped, quote, in the interests of justice, unquote. However, other reports have said it was because certain folks within the FBI failed to properly inform the accused of their rights against self-incrimination. Yeah, so in a letter to Consigliere Garland that was co-authored by Jim Jordan of Ohio and Andy Biggs of Arizona, they wrote, quote, it is not clear whether the department dismissed these charges due to reported misconduct by the FBI or because the department, under your leadership, is more invested in pursuing the far-left political goals of the Biden-Harris administration than in protecting American national security interests. These actions by the department raise serious concerns about its commitment to confronting the national security threats posed by the People's Republic of China. Now, in the letter, they ask Consigliere Garland to respond by October 11th on why the various cases have been dropped, along with other information on what's called the China Initiative. That's basically a campaign to pursue Red China's increasingly aggressive economic espionage in the country. Yeah. Can't wait to see that response. Any bets? Yeah, right. Me neither. Here's something that should make our national defenses better. Navy SEALs have been told by superiors that they are, quote, undeployable if they don't get the COVID vax, even if they are granted medical or religious exemption. One of the lawyers representing the group, his name is R. Davis Younts, he said the group he is representing has been told that should they apply for exemption, they will be immediately undeployable. Another attorney, Timothy Parlatore, said his clients have not only been given a similar ultimatum, but that some have been sent home mid-deployment for refusing the vaccine. Yeah, can you believe that? Yeah, here's a little bit more of it from the Epoch Times, because sometimes I like reading the Epoch Times because I think it's – I mean, I like reading it all the time, but sometimes I like taking the story in its context rather than me paraphrasing. As I said, a document presented to SEAL lawyers says that any special operations personnel, including special warfare combatant craft crewmen who, quote, refuse to receive the COVID-19 vaccine based solely on personal or religious beliefs, will be disqualified from special operations duty. Signed by Captain Liam Hewlin. This will affect deployment and special pays, the document also states. This provision does not pertain to medical contraindications or allergies to vaccine administration. Then it points out the reasons that the SEALs don't want a shot are the same as many unvaccinated Americans. They believe they either have so-called natural immunity or protection against reinfection if they've already had COVID-19, and in recovered, and a subset are Christians who don't want any medicines that are developed using cells from aborted fetuses. Yeah. You know, media, have you seen that anywhere in mainstream media? Anywhere? Bueller, exactly. Crap with fetal stem cells and all that. There are some people that have a real problem with using cells from aborted fetuses. I get that. Here's what one guy says. Parlator told the Epoch Times, he said, these guys are not anti-vax. They just are, given the extraordinarily low risk of COVID to them and the substantial risk of unknown long-term effects of the vax, they aren't comfortable with it right now. It doesn't say the exact number of seals considering not getting it, but Parlator and a pastor who is advising some of them says it's in the hundreds. The loss of that many seals, it said, could devastate the elite force, which has 2,450 active members, or active duty members. This is ridiculous. Yeah, shortly after U.S. drug regulators approved the vaccine, Pfizer's vaccine in August, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered troops vaccinated. Yeah, he told the heads of every branch to draft requirements. Unbelievable. Department of Defense has previously said that people can request exemptions, but they weren't outlined in the order. And sailors have been told that they would be facing punitive measures if they don't comply. I mean, seriously. What's going on? I mean, why is this stuff happening? You know, Vito and Al talked about it on the show Monday night with some of this vaccine stuff. I mean, look, I'm not trying to completely demonize Fauci or any of them. I mean, yes, I am. I mean, personally, I feel they are demons, but look, it's not so much that people are anti-vax. When I say not so, it's not at all that people are anti-vax. And it's not that people are anti-follow the science. The problem is, enough about this vaccine, even though I have it, and some other friends have it, my wife has it, we don't know enough about the long-term effects. There's a difference between choice and follow science, but they're not following the science. I mean, look at the number of people that are vaccinated that have it. People say, well, it lessens the effect. Okay, great. But so why then make it mandatory? Why have mandates? Why require people who work in various industries to get it? You know, if it was declared a pandemic in March of 2020. So we're 18 months into flattening the curve, basically. So, yeah, do you think people that haven't gotten it by now at least are aware of what to do not to get it and know why they haven't gotten it? I mean, frankly, I'm not sure why I haven't, other than I'm vaccinated and I practice the usual hygiene and I'm careful in groups and all that stuff, but not always. Now, admittedly, before we went to our daughter's wedding, my wife and I blew off the last couple weeks of social stuff. You know, why risk it at that point? But still, mandatory for everyone? I mean, people say, well, mandatory is for vaccines for kids in schools. Yeah, those are kids, and those were diseases that could be significantly worse than COVID. I'm never going to understand this. I'm really not. Finally, let's get to two rather insightful headlines that might just say it all. One is an article titled, I'm not going to go into it, but why raise taxes if the Biden agenda has zero cost? Simple in its brilliance, isn't it? The other one says, the other title, poll shows confidence in Biden on key issues is eroding. And in social media, Brett McMurphy tweeted this with regard to college football. Six teams so far are changing conferences. Three coaches have been fired. 25 AP top 25 teams have lost. And then Steve Dace responded, greatest sport on the planet. And I concur. Okay, no rant today, folks. No rant. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with our weekly football forum with Brother Tommy, Hawkeye Mike. Indy Hawk has been given the week off, and maybe T. Bodie. Anyone else who wants to join in? Absolutely. But just for laughs, anyone want to know what the home arena for the Seattle Storm and the Seattle Kraken is called? Anyone? Climate Pledge Arena. Seriously, that's the name of the stadium. Climate Pledge Arena. Climate Pledge Arena. Okay, we're going to give you a little Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin Waltz to get your blood back below the boiling point, and then we'll come back with our football forum. Be right back. You there?
Yeah, I am. That's why I'm plugging early. I'm like, he's got no excuses to not play my song if I plug in early.
Yeah. Vito put the shorter version on without all that introduction stuff, so he's
I can't wait to talk to Vito when you're on vacation. Vito likes me. You evidently don't.
I love you. You're my brother.
That's a joke, dummy. It's a joke.
I know. Let's bring Mike in. Mike, you there?
I'm here, Hank. How's it going?
Oh, good. Brother Tommy's with you. I don't see T. Bodie punching in.
Was all over the freaking group
I
text.
Know. Chat.
He better fucking call in. He better fucking call in, or I'm going to be raped.
Well, he's in the phone area. I don't know why he's not hitting the one. Oh, there
it
he goes.
Right.
He's in.
It
he's in.
Right,
he's here.
What is your problem?
T. Bodie in the house. All right.
T. Bodie's in the house. Thank you, Lord.
Hey.
Tom coerced me.
We got We got the truth here. We've given Indy Hawk the week off. I think he said he couldn't come because he was wrong on A&M Arkansas.
No, he said he couldn't come because he was going to some church function. He thinks that God's going to give him credit points.
Exactly, church. Come on. He was right on Baylor,
praying for a Hawkeye victory. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. He was right on Baylor.
He did call a couple good games. I will say that. He called a couple good games.
T. Bodie, you were the only one to pick Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, and I even put money on it.
But,
so
by the way,
good.
Who had the Arkansas pick as their upset of the week? I can't remember who
me.
Had that. Oh, that was me. Yeah.
Everyone but
no,
everybody
I
but
had
Indy.
It too, Mike. I had it too.
Everybody
okay,
but Indy had too. Arkansas. Everybody but Indy had Arkansas.
I don't like Arkansas tomorrow against Georgia, but I liked them. No, I had it.
No.
I had it.
Ever since I saw them,
I like them to cover.
Yeah.
I think
well,
they're all
that's
cover.
Interesting.
Okay,
yeah,
we're gonna start with T. Bodie this week. What's
oh, no,
one
don't
surprise?
Do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, then we'll start with Mike.
Just keep in mind, hey.
No, we're going to start with you, T. Bodie. Stop
I want
the,
you to know
out.
That Tom shamed me like a liberal into calling today.
Well, if you act like a liberal, you're going to get treated like one, you dumb motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Okay. T. Bodie, we are going to start with you. One surprise from last weekend, any game, one surprise, that one result or a game that shocked you.
From last weekend?
Yeah, just one shocking game, one game that shocked you that you never saw it coming.
You know, I to be honest, I really didn't get to see a whole lot of the scores. I don't even know the results of half the games from last weekend.
Someone didn't do their homework on the show.
I kind of thought Iowa State would beat Baylor, you know?
Yeah, I Baylor was a surprise to me, but that's
Baylor was undefeated though. So it was an upset, but it wasn't a shocker.
Right. And they were in the race to the end, from what I understand.
Yeah, T. Bodie, you can't tell me you saw Notre Dame winning 41-13.
Oh hell no!
Well,
I guess that's a shocker.
He picked them.
He did pick them, but 41-13. Nobody saw that.
With points, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
Tommy,
I mean,
how about you?
They go into my CFP. T-Bodie called it.
Tommy, you got to talk. Tommy,
all right, my bad.
It's about turn. But you're up next. What was your big surprise from the last weekend?
The one we were just talking about. I really would have bet my life on the fact that Notre Dame was going to get beat by Wisconsin. Dead wrong. And like I said, I won't bury the lead. I'm going to have in my CFP this week, I'm going to have fucking Notre Dame in there. But that one blew my brains away. Like you said, 41-17, the score was even greater than I thought. And then Hawkeye Mike, who we're going to talk to next, I asked on the group text, who does Notre Dame have left? And Hawkeye Mike put down a bunch of teams that like are not that – consequential, so I'm like they're gonna freaking walk in there. But that's my big surprise. I thought Notre Dame pretenders like you think about Miami. I thought Notre Dame pretenders, and I was dead wrong.
Hey, Tom, Mike, go ahead.
Notre Dame's going down. Just you know,
what's that?
Cincinnati would beat Notre Dame.
I disagree. I totally disagree. No, I totally disagree. Cincinnati.
So Mike, you're surprised. You're surprised from last weekend.
Well. Yeah, you know, my surprise was Minnesota losing at home to Bowling Green.
Oh,
that was a shocker to me.
30-point favorite.
You know,
that
I tried to get
30-point favorite.
I tried to get a soundbite from, and Tom will know this one. I tried to get a soundbite with Marv in the movie Wall Street when Bud Fox picks that one stock on his own and it loses ass for all of them. And at the end, Marv says, God damn, we sure went down the toilet on that ugly bitch. That's what Minnesota was last weekend. I'll bet there was $18 across this whole country wagered on Ball State or whoever
it
was.
That's not how gambling works.
No,
but
Bowling
that
Green.
You're right.
Green,
it's
I mean,
a very, very weird thing. Very weird thing.
The silver lining on this, though, is that the Hawks, the Hawkeyes are, you know, the Big Ten West is not looking too good. So the, you know, Iowa can be less than perfect and still probably win that division.
Yeah, we could be the one-eyed kings, so to speak, in the kingdom
of
the blind.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was actually down on Iowa after the game. But then I think I told you, Hank, it took about 48 hours to register. Now I actually think we're going to beat Maryland, and I think we're the team to beat in the West. But
yeah.
I understand people that have their reservations. And that's why I kind of appreciate Indy Hawk. He's like me. He's cynical and stuff.
Why did you change your mind about Iowa?
Great question, and I cannot articulate a particular reason other than to say I just think, all right, Hawkeye Mike, this is what I did. I looked at it like Iowa always comes out of the gate poorly, but this year we didn't. Last year, 0-2, we always start off slow, and I decided that maybe this year also what happens is Iowa does change up the playbook. And so that's what our gift to Maryland is going to be. We're going to change up the playbook, even though we never have in the past, in spite of people thinking that we will. So I don't know. Maybe it's just innate. I'm looking for an opportune time to be optimistic. You know, I don't know. But I just got a good feeling about Iowa this week, which shocks me because Saturday night I was like, we're going to get our asses fucking handed to us. But no, I've changed my tune.
Well, let's talk quickly on the rankings. Clemson, with two losses, is still in the top 25. North Carolina State, who beat them, got into the AP poll, didn't get into the coaches poll, believe it or not. Iowa State, on the other hand, fell out of the top 25. As I said earlier on that tweet, 25 different teams have already lost. Wisconsin's still getting votes, by the way. I mean, that's enough.
Michigan. You know what? Surprisingly, they're favored over Michigan this week, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Arkansas made a huge jump. Penn State jumped us, which I don't have a problem with. They didn't in the coaches. They did in the AP. But Arkansas, huge jump, while, of course, Texas A&M had a huge drop. So.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a.
No,
that
I think
a
the
Michigan,
polls have been ironically fair. I think they've been ironically fair this year, whereas in the past
yeah,
I would
you know,
have said they're
you
both full
have
of shit.
To remember, it doesn't matter really right now what the polls say because
it
if,
doesn't
if,
matter.
Let's,
no
for
matter.
Instance, let's take
yeah.
Iowa. If Iowa keeps winning, the polls will take care of themselves. And the only poll that really matters is the one that comes out in early November for the football
I agree.
Playoffs.
100%.
Once that comes out, all the other polls become you know basically moot. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So right now, the way I look at it, I mean, it's great to see them up there fifth or, you know, you can argue about who should be in the playoffs or not, but you got to wait for that CFP poll to come out, and that's what really matters. And by that time, you know, like I say, it's early November, you really have a pretty good feel for where Iowa and other
yeah.
teams are going to be at.
Agreed.
Okay, for Bigfoot's benefit in the chat room, Virginia Tech is not in the polls, but they are still getting votes. So if they keep winning, they'll get back in the polls, Bigfoot. So don't you worry none. We're going to start back. This time we're going to start with –
Should start worrying, Bigfoot, that your team sucks. Yeah. No offense.
No,
all right,
they
go
don't. T. Bodie, any thoughts from the Iowa game itself?
So I didn't see the game, as you guys are well aware. I watched the game in BTN, you know, when they play it in 60 minutes,
right.
No volume. And it looked to me, and this is, I kind of feel like Tom does, you know, they played well from what it looked like to me. They just didn't capitalize on, you know, and get those conversions in the first half. I'm not sure why they allowed the drives that they did, and Maryland's going to pass all over us this week, so we're going to have to be ready for that.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? What'd you see that – what are your thoughts? What kind of reaction?
Well, I was pretty scared at halftime. You know, I was like, what the heck? You know, what the hell's going on here? And they did do better in the second half, which was encouraging. The problem I had with the game – from the perspective of Iowa, is, you know, kind of disappointed in the run game and, you know, what seems to be some problems there. I think we're having some issues on the offensive line. Britt was out. I don't think he played at all. And
he did not.
I think and Schott, I think, didn't play much.
No,
so they're anticipating both those guys. They're anticipating both of those guys will be back and playing a lot more against Maryland, which will be good. They need those guys on the offensive line. Britt's done pretty good, so it kind of hurt losing him, and having Schott back helps too.
Yeah, agreed.
So hopefully they get that picked up. But I mean, I thought the running game didn't, you know, look pretty anemic. Now, you know, they're doing Colorado State did what happened in the other three games, and that is they're loading the box up and daring Iowa to throw. The thing is, Iowa actually did try to air it out, and I did like that. I did think it was Petras' best game of the year. They threw long, and we saw, you know, some good plays there. Keegan, what's his last name?
Keegan Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
Looked really good. Arlen Bruce had a couple good catches, I think. And they, you know, just like the idea they're throwing it long and we're successful. So let's hope that, you know, and we need to do that. You're going to have to throw on first down, you have to throw it deep to get these defenses off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Tommy, what were your thoughts?
Kind of similar to the other guys. I agree 100% with T. Bodie. I think that we're going to have to be very, very leery of Maryland's passing game, although I think we're going to overcome it.
Yep.
I agree exactly with what Mike said. I think our running game was something left to be desired. But I got, like I said, a pleasant feeling about it. But as for the last game, I was totally horrified, mortified, petrified, call it what you want. But and I do disagree with Hawkeye Mike and everyone on the board saying that Petras had a good game. In my world, he didn't. Two good throws, okay, but that's what is expected of you as a quarterback. At least two good throws, and he had two out of 26, I think it was. And so mixed feelings on Petras.
Actually, there were about three long passes.
Three good passes. Okay, I remember the and I
no,
will
long,
also
long
throw
pass.
In. Okay.
I'm talking deep, you know.
Yeah. And I
well,
will
you know,
also
I,
throw
I,
in.
I didn't say he had a great game. I said it was his best game. Now, you know, you might say by comparison, you know, his first three games wasn't that impressive.
And I concur on that, but his best game, I mean, when you're, you know, one-eyed, you know, you're in the land of the blind, you're the king. So for him having his best game, that says nothing to me. But I will agree with you on Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson. We've got, and I think I texted it today, we've got some young talent on this team. And that
Keegan they need
Johnson,
to get those guys in more, too. You know, they're going to need
I could not agree more. Yep, I could not agree more. But that's my assessment.
Okay, so T. Bodie, your thoughts for this week. I know you talked about Maryland's going to pass on us. What else are you thinking we need to do?
I agree. We need to establish our run and, you know, pass downfield.
Yep.
We need to move the ball. So, I think our DBs will stand up well against their pass attack. They usually they say they lead the league in passes over 20 yards.
Yes.
And, you know, our DBs are good, and I think that they need to put pressure on the quarterback to stop that, and I think we can do that.
Yep.
I think we're going to – think it's going to be
– You know, I agree. I think Ted hit it right on the head. We have an outstanding backfield, and so I think they can do a good job against Maryland, provided that we get pressure on Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
You cannot give them all day. That's the key, is going to be getting a rush on that. I think Iowa can do it. They've done a pretty good job of getting rushes, but they've got to do it against him. And even if that means some blitzing, you can't give him all day, and that's going to be the key.
Yeah. Brother Tommy, what's your thought?
Yeah, I amplifying what Mike said. I think what you're going to see, Hawkeye Mike said, I think you're going to see some stunts. I think we're going to have to get a pass rush. That being said, I'm reasonably positive about it, and I agree with what both Ted and
or T. Bodie and Hawkeye Mike said, I'm in total agreement, so I got nothing else to offer, really.
I think there's something that's not being talked about. Iowa leads the Big Ten in fewest on defense in fewest yards per play. We're giving up less yards per play than any other team in the conference. So, you know, that's a help. I mean, now, if Maryland completes their downfield, again, like anything else, what this team can't afford to do is get behind. You know, we get behind.
Well, I think Indy Hawk would chime in here and say, rightfully so, that, yeah, but we're also 125th out of 130 teams in offensive production. And so that's the other side of the coin, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We make up for it this week.
So, okay.
And let me add, let me say one thing on a positive note about Iowa in the Colorado State game. I don't think Colorado State's a bad team. They look like they might do some damage out there in the Mountain West or whatever conference they're in. But this team did show a little character. You know, they're behind 14-7. They did not play well. The way that first half ended was bad. And they shut them out 17-0, gave up like 80 yards, total yards. They really the defense really got their act together. So it takes a little bit of character to come back like that, and they showed that to me, and that's something they're going to need to if they're going to have a good season.
If I heard it right, he's the ex coach of Boston when we played Boston in the Pinstripe Bowl. If I heard it right,
exactly, Mike Steve Adazio. You know what I still can't believe is the way they literally. Whoever was doing Brando and whoever the guy, I forgot the guy calling it with him, but. When they said, this is a time when Iowa comes up with a big turnover, and literally the next play had happened. I mean, I just thought that was ironic as hell.
We cannot continue to rely on that. I understand what you're saying, but we cannot continue to rely on that is my argument.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we make things happen when they shouldn't happen. We do, and that's maybe the intangible that makes me think we're going to beat Maryland.
Okay. Well, we're getting to prediction time now, so – we'll start with.
I got a couple big upsets. Ooh.
We start. Don't wait till you hear the games first. We'll start the first one with Hawkeye Mike, Michigan, Wisconsin. Who are you picking? Just straight up, it's at Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Mrs. Hank picks Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's really after that Notre Dame game. I don't know. You kind of shake your head about them, and then Michigan struggled at home against Rutgers, who I think is a good team, but Rutgers really could have won that game. They kind of gave that to Michigan. You know what? I'm going out on a limb here. I think Wisconsin's going to at home in Madison. They're going to rise up a little bit, and they're going to win a close one over Michigan.
T. Bodie, to you.
Yeah, I agree. Michigan's got this offense. It kind of seems to be a juggernaut. They're putting up points every game. Wisconsin at home is the only reason why I will take Wisconsin. Otherwise,
okay, brother,
if it was Wisconsin, wouldn't stand a chance.
Brother Tommy.
Yeah, Michigan got 8 rushing touchdowns 2 games ago. I go with Wisconsin, and I totally agree with what you said, Hank, probably on a text, not on the show. I've never seen a Paul Chris team so undisciplined. I think they pull it together. I go with Wisconsin, definitely.
Okay, well, I'm picking for Indy Hawk this week. So if it sucks, blame Indy Hawk. But I'm going to go with Michigan.
He'll come looking for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with Michigan for the very reason Tommy just mentioned. I have never seen a Paul Chris team this undisciplined. Any team since Barry Alvarez got to Wisconsin, never seen one this undisciplined. It's almost approaching Nebraska S proportions, except that they actually get the ball into the red zone. But I'm not sold on Graham Mertz. I'm just not.
But Chris like Ferentz will turn it around.
I'm not sold on
Michigan.
I'm not sold on Michigan either. If this game was at Michigan, I would be picking Michigan. I mean, I agree with T. Bodie on that.
Oh, yeah. T. Bodie, you had something to say.
Yeah, has Mertz done anything, and you know this probably better than I, since that very first game last year? Or
no.
Whenever he had a game.
Well, in his defense, remember, he got COVID before their second game. So their second game, they had 2 weeks canceled. So, you know, he did fight off the COVID. And I think
but the question was, has he done anything?
No,
it doesn't matter
really,
what
no.
reason it is. He's
although,
done
they, although they, although they, although hell yes, they won the Duke's Mayo Bowl last year. So you know, give him that. But
and is he part of the group of these quarterbacks with name, image, likeness to have a contract where maybe his head went to his head or his line feels a little resentful?
I don't think it's that. I think
that category
is
kind of like the
Oklahoma's
quarterback.
A matter of, you know, his first game last year, he what was he like 20 of 21 or something? I mean. It was just insane, but it was against Illinois. I mean, you know,
but you got to wonder if NIL does have a – actually, that's a great point. You got to wonder if it does have an effect.
Remember,
I'm not saying
Justin,
it has an effect, Justin, but you got to wonder
Justin,
if it does.
Yeah. I'm thinking it
Justin,
could play a part.
Justin Britt's father mentioned that. Remember when he was you know, when they were, he and his wife were on the show, he mentioned he wasn't in favor of NIL because he thought it's you're going to have players that don't focus. So I don't know. That could be a reason, but well, how does that explain last year? You know, I don't think it does.
I thought
I mean,
of
just...
all your interviews, I actually thought that was the most persuasive point, Mr. Britt. I could not agree more. Like, no, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing, and I could not agree more. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next game, Charlotte at Illinois. Brother Tommy, to you first.
Illinois. You guys know I'm a fucking Illinois honk. I love
he's
Elam.
Finally going to get it right about Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're favored by like 19 points.
Mike, how about
who
you?
Who knows, though?
Yeah, you know, against Charlotte, the Illini bounce back, I guess. You know, I don't – Charlotte, I mean, I don't know anything about them. Are they FBS or are they in the FCS?
Western Carolina is 16th in the country, so, I mean, shit. Maybe North Carolina's
you know,
got
and,
some football.
I don't know.
You know,
I don't
– let me
either.
Look. Let me look because I didn't even think about that. I'm pretty sure they're in one of those conferences like the Sun Belt or whatever. But
yeah. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
Charlotte beat Duke.
Charlotte
they beat
Duke.
Gardner-Webb. And they beat they lost to Georgia State.
And Duke beat Northwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
they are in
they
are actually in the East Division of Conference USA. Charlotte is.
And they barely beat Middle Tennessee.
Yep. So, okay.
It looks like they've
given teams fits.
T. Bodie, how about you? Who are you picking?
I'm still going to go with Illinois.
Okay.
You can't let a team like that come into a Big Ten season.
Picking for picking
you mean
for
like
Indy Hawk.
Green did. Yeah.
Yeah. Picking for Indy Hawk. Yeah. I have a feeling Indy Hawk would take Charlotte in this one, but that's just me.
No, he would.
Okay,
he's
Mike,
dumb,
you're
not that dumb. He's dumb. He's
Mike,
not
you're
that,
up. Mike, you're up first. You're up first. Minnesota at Purdue.
After what happened last week, Purdue's not too bad. At home, go with the Boilermakers. They're going to win.
T. Bodie.
Minnesota's favored. It's at Purdue.
You're kidding, aren't you? Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think Purdue.
Okay.
I'll go with Purdue.
Brother Tom.
And I bet the house on Purdue.
Yeah, I go. Yeah. I go. Hawkeye. Well, I guess both of them. I go Purdue. Purdue.
I have a feeling even Indy would take Purdue since it's in his home. You know, is near Indy and all. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he would take Purdue. Yeah. How about this? Ohio State at Rutgers.
Who goes first? Please tell me I do.
You do.
Ah, fantastic. I try to do one or two upsets a week. I am going Rutgers.
Yeah.
They're playing in Piscataway or whatever the fuck that town is in New Jersey.
Piscataway.
Piscati. Shiano's the real deal as far as college coaches go. Yeah, he fucked it up at Tampa Bay Buccaneers and other professional venues. He's the real deal as a college coach. As Hawkeye Mike pointed out, he gave Michigan a good game last week. He's only getting better. That's my upset of the week. Like last week when I said Kent State, and I was only off by 24 points.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Must be the upset of that.
Mike, how about you?
You know, I think Tom could be right. Rutgers could win this. I think they're a good team. I've been kind of sold on them even before the Michigan game. And I saw the Michigan game. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it, but really in the second half, Michigan couldn't do anything. And Rutgers really had a chance to win that game. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to give the edge to Ohio State.
Okay. T. Bodie.
Yeah, I Ohio State's still Ohio State. I think they kind of they're going to win.
Yeah, I think Indy
and
would
I do
the same thing.
And I do agree with that. Ohio State is Ohio State.
I think. I think Indy Hawk is going to take Ohio State as well. So, this next one, Mike, you're up first on this one. It's Indiana at Penn State.
Indiana's kind of been a disappointment, haven't they? I mean, it seems like after Iowa took it to them, they just haven't quite got things back going. I think they did win last week, but they aren't going to win at Penn State. Penn State's going to win probably at least two touchdowns, maybe three.
Yeah. Indy Hawk has taken Penn State as well. T. Bodie, to you.
You know, I disagree with Mike there. Hawkeye Mike, I think that it's going to be a little closer than two touchdowns. I would take Indy and the points if I was betting, but I'll take Penn State for the straight-up win.
Yeah, I think yeah. Brother Tommy?
Kind of go with, to a certain extent, T. Bodie, but I'll even do it. That's my other upset. Indiana beats Penn State. And you guys are going to be amazed.
Next
week, you're going to be calling me a fucking genius.
They really are going to be calling you a genius. I can tell. Yeah. Taking Indiana. Sorry. I just don't see it. I don't see it. But it's
Allen is nobody's fool. Allen is nobody's fool. He's a good coach. Yeah.
But Indiana.
He's
going
to go in there. Penn State's going to be looking forward to us. We got them next week. They're going to be looking forward to us. I'm telling you, it's a trap fucking game. Okay, we'll see. But I'm going. That's my other upset.
Okay. T. Bodie, you're starting up on this one. Now, this is interesting. This is Western Kentucky, who played Indiana within 2 points last weekend at Michigan State.
Yeah. You know what? I think Michigan State wins that pretty handedly.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty solid, and it's at home.
Yeah, Indy Hawk agrees. Mike, to you. Tommy, to you. Mike, to you again. Michigan State.
Yeah, I totally echo T. Bodie. Michigan State wins. They win, in fact, by two or three touchdowns, at least. Yeah.
For our folks at home, don't bet the way Brother Tommy's betting on every game this week. Just saying.
Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what. I want the kids. I want the little hanksters to go grab mom and dad's credit card and freaking bet the farm on the shit I'm giving you upset wise. You're gonna get 6-1 on the fucking
line. You can take it to the bank. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Tommy sounds like one of those guys on Proline. Remember that old, these guys are right out of the mob, you know. Yeah, the NFL, yeah, you know, we got to watch that Brady kid, you know.
It's
this is like 20 years ago.
It's a fucking lock.
Yeah.
It's a fucking lock.
Yeah.
Ohio State loses to Rutgers.
It's
a fucking lock.
Okay. Okay, Tommy, you're starting up on this one. Northwestern at Nebraska.
Northwestern's getting better, but Nebraska, I think I told you, two losses in the Big Ten West. However, I think they're going to be spoilers. I don't think Nebraska, short of Iowa, I don't think Nebraska's going to lose another game this year. So I go Nebraska.
Mike.
Although Northwestern's getting better.
You realize, Tom, that Nebraska has to play Ohio State, right?
Yeah. I think Nebraska's the
okay. Well, look, Nebraska is I think they're good. They're definitely getting better. But they always seem to find a way to lose. And the predictable answer is to say Nebraska will win. And I probably sort of think that, but I also need to have, like to have at least one upset pick. So I'm going to go with the Northwestern Wildcats to upset. Let me ask you, if I'm right and that happens, the whole state of Nebraska is going to explode. I don't, you know, just imagine if they lose this game, what that's going to do.
Frost
to Frost.
If they lose it, Frost is done. Frost is done if they lose. He's done.
Well, it's not the first time that Nebby would have lost to Northwestern because they've kind of held their number two like Iowa.
Yeah, but you give and someone a three-year grace period or four-year grace period with recruits. If he loses, he's done. And that's what he's playing for. He's playing for his skin. That's what you guys maybe do understand, but
T-Bodie, what are you
he's
thinking? Who are you picking this game?
You know, while Oklahoma's not the Oklahoma that everyone gave him credit for, Nebby played with them, and it's at home. I just don't see them losing to Northwestern at home.
I don't either.
Based on what they've been, the eggs they've been laying. So I go with Nebraska.
Okay. Brother Tommy, you're first up on this one.
Hey, what did Indy take on that last one?
Indy took Nebraska.
All right.
Indy took Nebraska. I don't know. I'm just picking for him, so I'm taking Nebraska. Let's put it that way. Arkansas, Georgia, Brother Tommy.
Georgia beats them so handily. That's what you're going to make you guys say to yourselves. Is Georgia the best team in the country, or is Alabama? Georgia beats them handily. And Arkansas is a good team.
Mike?
Well, you know, Arkansas was my upset pick last week, and they're a good team, and they've impressed me, but they're not going to beat Georgia at Georgia. This is Arkansas is going to get their first loss. It won't be as wide a margin as Tom's letting on, but Georgia wins.
Well,
Georgia wins by three touchdowns, Marcus.
Yeah, so Indy Hawks taking Georgia simply because he refuses to pick Arkansas, apparently, from last week when he picked A&M. T. Bodie, what are you picking?
I would take Arkansas on the points, but straight up Georgia is going to win it by about almost three touchdowns. Yep.
Yeah. Now here's a game.
It's like a 17-point spread. It's fucking huge. 17.
I'd take Arkansas with the spread.
Yeah,
I think Georgia covers it. But
here's a very interesting game. Very interesting game. Mike, you're up first on this one. Cincinnati at Notre Dame.
I keep picking Notre Dame to lose, and this time it's actually going to happen. Cincinnati's got a hell of a team, and, of course, they won't be sneaking up on anybody, but I'm going with Cincinnati to beat Notre Dame. Is it an upset, maybe? I don't know, but let me put it this way. If Notre Dame wins, beat Cincinnati, who's going to beat them?
Yeah,
I think Cincinnati does win, though. I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Indy Hawk has taken Cincinnati as well, simply because he doesn't like Notre Dame. Or I don't, so it's passing on.
Yeah, that's kind of doing it that way.
My wife also picks Cincinnati, just so you guys know. But in honor of my own mother, I'm going to say Cincinnati, because that's my mom always called it Cincinnati for some reason. I don't know why. But
like the Pona.
Cincinnati is the character on Daniel Boone. Yeah.
Yes. T. Bodie, who are you taking on this one?
The original chocolate, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Cincinnati is actually favored. They're favored on the road. So, you know, it's clear that people think they're the better team. I think they're the better team. I'm a Cincinnati.
Okay. And Brother Tommy?
I think I chose not to bury the lead at the beginning. I say Notre Dame's going to be going to the CFP. Thankfully to Hawkeye Mike, who texted me their remaining schedule, I say Notre Dame fucking buries them.
Okay. Fair enough. T. Bodie, you're up first on this next one, and this is a good one. This is going to be a good game. Ole Miss at Bama.
Fucking blowout. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
T-Bodie.
Again, Alabama's not going to give up one at home like that, but it's going to be closer than the spread, I think. Ole Miss is good, as it seems to be, but I'm Alabama.
Okay, Brother Tommy.
Alabama by minimal three touchdowns. Minimal. Minimal. Probably 4 or 5 touchdowns. Minimal.
Mike?
I have to say, Tommy, I'm with Ted. I think Alabama wins, but Ole Miss is good. They've got a high-powered offense. Alabama showed me that they're fallible when they played Florida. They had a 21-3 lead and almost lost. And they didn't do much in the second. The key thing, they didn't do much offensively in the second half. I think Ole Miss will give them a game, but I do think Alabama pulls it out.
Just out of curiosity, I forget. Where did Alabama play Florida?
I am picking Alabama. I'm just saying. But I think you're underestimating Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is pretty good.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Look, I pick Alabama to win it, but it's not going to be 3 or 4 or 5 touchdowns, I don't think.
It is. You'll see. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so for our tiebreaker and featured game, of course.
Brother, you what?
Iowa at Maryland. Brother Tommy, we're going to start with you. Miss Hank picks Maryland. Oh no, she rescinded. Brother Tommy, we're starting with you. This is a different thing though. You got to pick the team, Iowa or Maryland, and then the over under is 48. So you got to take the over or the under.
Okay, I'm going to go Iowa. Totally changed my viewpoint from Sunday. I had time to just reflect and relax. I go Iowa, and I will go on 24-14. That's 38. Yeah, I'll go under.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm not going to go against the Hawkeyes here. I do pick Iowa to win. It's not going to be easy, but I think they'll win. As far as the over-under, I would point out last week Maryland had pretty much did what they wanted, 37-16. Smaller margin
not
than
doing
Iowa,
that to Iowa.
Here's my point. That's 53 points, right? So it's barely if you're on a 48 over under with Iowa, they were only 5 points above that against Kent State. It's going to be under.
Okay, oh,
I agree, 100%. Yeah.
Indy Hawk is taking Iowa, of course, and he'll take the under because he doesn't believe in Iowa's offense yet. T. Bodie, to you. You have the last word.
You know, first off, to our Virginia Tech fans, I'll take Virginia Tech for this week's game.
we're not picking it. So this is the final.
And I also wanted to get the word on the Cyclones being 34-point favorites, and I think that they will not cover.
Answer the question about Iowa, you dummy.
Let him go.
And I don't think I don't think that we're going to put up too many points. And I know our defense is good. I would say 27-17, which is 44. So I'm under.
Yeah, I think everybody's picking the under. You know, this will be the week when we shock or something. But who knows? We just never know. I mean, it's going to be a good game. I'm nervous about it. I got to say that. I'm going to be driving to our place, and then we're going to get there in time to go find a sports bar. We found a Buffalo Wild Wings nearby where we're going to go watch it. And I called them and said they said, of course, we can put on any game you want, and there won't be much on Friday night.
Right, there won't be much competition Friday night. So yeah,
right. But except for
Hawkeye, Mike, and I think T. Bodie both are like they're cynical on Friday night games. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Hank?
I think college football should be played on Saturday. It can be Saturday night.
Yeah, I get the argument. But I don't know.
I think it's right though. I think people have talked about this. I think it should be left for the high schools. But the thing is now, so many conferences have gone to Wednesday games and Thursday games.
Well, I'm against those too.
I think one Big Ten Friday night game a month, every week, but a month, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think it's a way to separate the conference a little bit, give it a marquee matchup maybe on a Friday night.
That's the way I look at it, yes. That's the way I look at it, yeah.
But I don't know that I want it to be a permanent thing. I mean, I think, yeah, it's true. It's for the high schools. You know, the other side of that,
High schools kids and parents that need to be watching the games, the college games, not hearing about the scores and –
Yeah,
you don't mess with them. Yeah, those are the big.
I agree with that 100%. But the thing is this: let's just assume we win. This is what I put in the group text. Let's just assume we win. Doesn't that make Saturday a stress
free Saturday.
Yeah, but see, but that's where you want the stress. See, I like the whole atmosphere of Saturdays, you know, especially in the mornings, the build up to the game. Just the atmosphere.
I get it. Yeah.
The other side, though,
I'm not gonna have a shit fit about it. But I just, you know, it's Fridays. It's kind of gimmicky to me.
I mean, you know, it's sort of like our Black Friday game. You know, our Black Friday game, it would be one thing if that's when we played Iowa State. But playing a conference game on Black Friday just to separate us, I think that kind of sucks. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should give it a rest.
The Friday thing is always an exception. It's a tradition for Nebraska anyway. I didn't really have a problem with that because of the holiday weekend. But during the regular season, you know, not the Thanksgiving holiday or bowl games or playoffs and stuff, I'm on Saturday, but
here's one positive issue you can make. For the Big Ten, I'm talking about one positive issue. You remember they had that show Big Ten Friday Night Tailgate? It could have been a great show. They totally blew it, and because of that, I think, you know, remember they used to have John Miller on a show too during the week, and they got rid of that. I think as their production on some of their shows has gone down, why not just, you know, have their Big Ten Friday night game once a month or whatever? Because unless they can come up with a good Friday night show, I don't see the point of, you know, getting Big Ten Network on your cable or satellite or whatever just so you can watch field hockey.
But the game Friday night's on FS1, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a Miller apologist, but I will say I like John Miller. I was shocked that he got dropped from BTN.
I don't think it was as much about him as it was about his partner, his broadcast partner, LeCharles Bentley, who may be a very nice guy, but was absolutely atrocious on that show. I mean, it's just terrible.
He kept his position, and Miller didn't.
Miller does do a podcast, you know, every week after the games and stuff. I don't know if you need
that.
Well,
I didn't
listening
know that.
At all
no.
to Chuck Long's podcast with Tom Cakert. That's another one that's not a bad one to catch. They had Bob Stoops on about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We talked about this in the group text, but let's get it out public so everybody hears it. T. Bodie, we'll start with you again on this one. What's the one go-to tailgate food?
Big-ass turkey legs, maybe, if you're in Iowa City, but I'm a wing. I bumped them up because I like wings.
Okay. We're going to let Mrs. Hank go next. What's yours? Fireball. We talked about that, too. Fireball. No, it's a whiskey.
It's a fucking drink.
Puts her into the stratosphere, but for some reason she's alcohol immune when she drinks Fireball. She can drink it forever and never show it. You wouldn't think she's had a drop. So, Tommy, how about you? Your go-to hawk or tailgate food.
Haven't done it, but I will echo T. Bodie. To me, nothing better than good wings. Good wings are fucking second to none. Although I love good steak, too. I'll do a sirloin or a London broil.
That's tailgate food?
Cooked properly. What?
That's tailgate food? A sirloin or?
Absolutely.
Well, we did that at the Capital One Bowl. We did that day, and we also did it at the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, Ted, you were there. T-Bodie,
no, he wasn't there. Don't you remember? He didn't get there till late. Yeah, he didn't get there.
I don't think you saved me any steak, though.
No, we did not. We did not save any steak. So, Mike, how about your go-to tailgate food?
Well, I'll try to be a little different. I mean, I love the wings and a steak too, but for just tailgate food, how about bratwurst? Love that.
Yeah,
no brat.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Solid argument there.
So for a Hawkeye tailgate, I would say either a tenderloin if you want to make them up, you know, because people bring a fryer, a tenderloin or a made right. A made right would be easy because you can do that in a crock pot, you know.
I swear to God,
but
I've never heard that term until you guys
don't
texted it today.
Right.
I've never heard of that term.
Yeah, but by the time you were there, the only maid right in town was out in Coralville. So,
It's funny how if you're not from Iowa, you don't know what the hell it is. You know, now Hank does because he spent enough time in Iowa, apparently more than Tommy. But if you're, it's an Iowa thing. It's just really, I mean, I think T. Bodie will back me up on that. It's really an Iowa thing. Made right.
Well, I think T. Bodie's the one that says Iowa's not arguably in the argument for best states in the union, and I totally disagree. I fucking love Iowa.
Yeah.
Fucking
so,
Iowa.
That
beautiful.
Might be because T. Bodie still lives in Iowa, and you know the old saying about familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, not welcome in his own country. right. I get that.
Okay,
yeah.
Now we're gonna start a little different. The best place to go on a Sunday after the game, if you're going to do brunch with your parents or whoever, the best Sunday. Oh, Mrs. Hank just hit it with the colony, so but you can still say that. So, Mike, what would you say?
In Iowa City? In Iowa City?
In Iowa City.
It's
been so long since I've been back there. Usually what I would do is if my folks were there, they usually would be at the Memorial Union, go over there and eat. They had a kind of a buffet kind of breakfast there.
Yeah, they
did. It was not bad.
We always went to Little Amana.
Yeah,
otherwise, somewhere that has Bloody Marys is a good place to go.
Yeah. What about just going to the Amana colonies, man? I thought that Sunday afternoon getting the sauerbraten at the Ronaberg, holy crap. That was
a drop.
Here's one that nobody's saying. Iowa River Power Company.
IRP was good back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is now. Did they have a good brunch?
Yeah, remember they had a Sunday. They had a buffet bar, and you could order off the menu too. But most of the time, you'd hungover as you usually were. You would just like, I'll just get a gargantuan sized plate of cottage cheese and call it a morning. But
you motherfuckers are going to crucify me.
Yeah, you want
me,
the cottage
I'm say,
cheese?
I'm
you
got
to go to the
things.
Ronaberg.
Yeah, the Ronaberg was just.
That was the best.
You guys are going
Earth.
30 miles out of town, which is not fucking fair game. Sorry, it's not.
I agree, Tom.
Crucify me, but the bottom line is one of two places. The first one, you're really going to crucify me, Vito's, and the second one is Sports Column.
I don't remember them having breakfast.
Vito's.
I don't remember.
I was saying it could be lunch. It could be lunch. Vito's. Remember Vito's on Friday nights had that.
There were more
like
the view. The view, guys, like airliner, beautiful view.
But don't you remember?
View.
Was it
or how about
Brother
how
Tommy?
About Joe's place that used to have good breakfast too.
Yeah, Joe's place.
Joe's place.
Yeah, but they haven't served food in a while there, I don't think. But didn't Vito's on Friday nights used to have the free pizza bar? Like they would bring out a bunch of pizza and throw it under the
heat
lamp.
It had a fucking taco bar. Yeah. I fucking set the record, 12 tacos. 12 tacos, me and all my buddies. 12 fucking tacos.
First of all, Brother Tommy, that might be a record for your apartment building, but I gotta tell you, there's probably about 97% of the scholarship roster at Iowa that could take down that 12 taco record.
Oh,
so,
really? Bring them fucking on. Bring them fucking on. Sports column. I'm sorry.
Maybe that was me.
Sports column with that fucking free throw hoop and whatnot.
Yeah, but did they have
that
food there?
Was second to none.
Not on a Sunday.
I love the free throw hoop, by the way. I don't know. I wonder if they still have that. And the dentist.
Yeah, Joe was the guy. I think he started Joe's place. Joe was the black bartender that I got along with him great and whatnot.
No, that was not. The guy that started Joe's place was a guy named Joe Ranella back in like 1928 or something.
Yeah.
Tom, do
really?
You know
he
where
was 112 when he fucking started it, really?
Yep.
Tom, do you know where
not,
they go
yep.
in Denver, there, where Hawkeye Mike's at? Do you know where they go
no.
for the Iowa game? Sports column.
That's listed as the iClub, but I haven't gone. I've been tempted to go down there, but I haven't yet because I figure.
You need to go down there.
Have you been there recently or for
you want to live there?
What was that place that was out south part of Denver that we used to go to way back when you were there?
Peppers.
To watch Iowa.
Peppers.
Games. Remember Tracy Walker would show up. What was it?
Peppers. He
Peppers.
Said.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you said Tracy. I heard that. Tracy Lawrence was a hell of a porn star. I'll give her that.
Okay.
Tracy
Walker.
I don't know what you fucking said, but Tracy Lawrence.
We're veering off course here.
Yeah, we're veering way off course. You know what the number one Hawkeye or eye club is in the country in terms of like per donations and stuff? Tampa Bay.
No, is it really?
Tampa Bay Eye Club. Yeah.
That place
fucking rocks.
What's going on there? I wonder.
They've had several people. Like for a while, Eddie Peters, who is retired from the university, he was there for a while and really helped jazz it up. But they just had a good system. I mean, for instance, they had assigned seating at one of their places. So if you came in and you hadn't reserved, you had to wait till after the first quarter to get a seat. So that you know.
Oh,
but I mean, they had two people.
You had to wait for the first game.
They had 200 people at their game watches. I mean, they just, you know, it's just amazing. They do a great job.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Have you been over there for a game?
I have not.
I was there about 10, no, not 10, probably closer to 20 years ago. No, 15 years ago. My wife Liz and I went there and, it's nothing but the truth, but the problem is it's very, very crowded.
Yeah.
But they don't fuck around. They play ball, and doesn't surprise me at all when Hank says it's the number one because
– And probably not every year, but I mean several years they were. They just have the numbers, and it's just a fun – you know, they came over with – to help out at a Capital One function, now the Citrus Bowl, the Citrus Sports function, 1 year. And, they're just a lot of club, a lot of people,
Hawkeye
and they're very active. Yeah, Hawkeye Club.
Okay. So, quick follow-up with T. Bodie. So, the sports, have you been down there then to the iClub stuff? Is it a pretty good deal?
The one downtown sports column you definitely want to go to.
Yeah.
When it was peppered, back in '86, when Iowa and OSU played for I don't remember which game it was, the place was so packed they were body passing people across the bar. That's how crowded it was.
We had a keg in the parking lot before the game in 2006 where we beat LSU. You were at the game. I was with you.
Yeah, but that was – he's talking about 1986 before that.
Ohio State.
Okay, finally, we're going to close with this. T. Bodie, what four teams are in the playoff as of this week?
Well, I'm going to go with Bama and Georgia, I think. And I don't see anyone stopping Oregon. Their schedule looks so easy. I don't know. Maybe they have a tough one with Stanford this week. And the winner of Iowa and Penn State. And right now, I would still – I don't know. I'd still lean Penn State.
It's at Kinnick.
Okay.
True.
Mike, we'll
That's
throw
–
Tommy, we'll throw it to you. Your four teams – or your other three teams besides Notre Dame.
Yeah, I agree with Bodie in the extent that the first three except the Big Ten contingent. I go with Bama, Georgia. I love your pick, actually, about Florida. That's brave, and I love brave, but I'm going to go Bama, Georgia. I'm going to still stick with barely, but I'm going to still stick with Oregon and Notre Dame catapulted into my top four. So, yes, those four teams.
Mike, how about you?
SEC's not going to get two into the 14 playoff. It's going to be either Georgia or Alabama. And I think and here's why I'm picking Georgia, because I think Alabama – is going to have one other loss besides Georgia, and then I think they're going to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship. So I'm going to go with Georgia, Oregon. I just don't see anybody who's going to beat them. So I do think it'll be Oregon. And Notre Dame, I hate to say it, Clemson's out, so don't have to worry about the ACC. And then whoever wins the Big Ten, I'm hoping it's Iowa. I think it's a good shot at Iowa. But whoever's the Big Ten champ, if they have one loss, or less. I'm going to be optimistic, so I'll still go with Iowa until they get beat.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the winner of the Iowa Penn State game. So I got to pick one, so I'm going to say Iowa. I'm going to go Bama because why not? And then Oregon again, and then I still say Florida. I think Florida runs the table, beats Georgia, and then beats Bama in the championship, SEC championship game, very close, and that's why I think Bama still gets in. of Florida, Bama.
Very brave pick. I take my hat off.
So you don't see Alabama losing a game before the SEC championship?
Nope, I do not. I don't know why. I just don't. If it's going to happen, I don't know where they.
Bryce Young.
Yeah, I just think they're.
Hank. You're absolutely right. It's not going to happen.
So anyway, okay, guys. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks, Bigfoot, for being here in the chat room. Sorry, Indy Hawk and Vito and a few others weren't here, but thanks all for being on. Next week, Vito is hosting the show. You are welcome to call in, but I don't think he'll be doing picks or anything like that because I don't want to force anything on him. But, Tom, if you call in, he does have the shorter version of Black Betty to play for you. So,
as long as I hear my song, I'm happy.
Yeah, so we'll be texting Friday, I'm sure, and go Hawks. And with that, we're going to send it out with the fight song. Talk to you all later, guys.
All right.
Good night, folks. Have a good week. God bless.